wings above the Diamantina. A human story from Northwest Queensland.
The mystery of the stolen aeroplane and the paralysed girl whom John Nettlefold, owner of Coolibar Station, found in the cockpit has deepened. Early in the morning, Sergeant Cox and Nettlefold drove away from the homestead to the Emu Lake paddock to inspect the abandoned aeroplane, and they have not yet returned. Elizabeth, who was nursing the mysterious girl during the night, saw a strange man, whom she thought was Dr. Knowles, enter the bedroom and tamper with a bottle of brandy on the bedside table. Dr. Knowles denied having entered the bedroom, and he is now talking to Elizabeth in the dining room.
Miss Nettlefold, I just brought that bottle of brandy down from the bedroom, and here are two more unopened bottles. Do you see any difference?
Why, yes. The unopened bottles have a space between the cork and the top of the brandy, and the other bottle is full right up to the cork.
Exactly. It's quite obvious, then, that something has been added to this bottle.
What is it? Can you tell me that?
No, I'm afraid I can't. But I'll have the liquid analyzed. We'll soon be able to find out.
In the meantime, then, we'd better use a fresh bottle.
Yes, by Jove. I'd very much like to find out who was that nighttime visitor.
Oh, so would I.
It's obviously someone who knows the lay of the house pretty well.
Yes, it must be.
Can you think of anyone it's likely to be? After all, there can't be many people who know the house as well as that.
Father and Sergeant Cox were the only two men sleeping here.
How about the station hands?
They're all away, mustering now.
It's a very strange thing. We'll have to report it to Sergeant Cox when he returns.
Yes, this is all getting quite beyond me now. I don't know what to think.
Now, don't worry yourself, Miss Nettlefold. There's a policeman and a doctor in the house. Surely you can leave it all to them. Now, I suggest you go upstairs and get some sleep. You must be worn out.
I am very tired.
Then up to bed you go, then. Or I shall have two patients on my hands instead of one.
All right, Doctor. I'm going now.
Are you awake, Miss Elizabeth?
Who's there? Oh, it's you, Hetty. Switch on the light, will you, please?
Miss Elizabeth, I'm so sorry to wake you up. But there's such news, such happenings at Coolabah I've never heard before.
What's happened? Good heavens, it's 6 o'clock. Why didn't you wake me earlier?
Well, Mr. Nettlefold told me not to.
He's back, then?
Yes, he and Sergeant Cox returned an hour ago. Someone has burnt the aeroplane out at Emu Lake.
What? Burnt it?
Yes, Miss Elizabeth. You remember that big aeroplane we saw pass over the house this morning? Well, it landed at Emu Lake before they got there. And when they arrived, they found the other men looking at the remains of the other plane.
What other men?
Why, Captain Lovacre and his other pilot.
Good heavens. Wonder who on earth could have done it.
I don't know. I don't think Sergeant Cox does either. He seems to be all of a fluster.
Yes, poor man. That means there'll be no clues left about the girl now. Oh, this would happen now.
Well, I reckon that the man what poisoned that girl set fire to the aeroplane. It's as plain as anything to me.
Yes, it does look like it.
But Dr. Knowles is gone, Miss Nettlefold.
Gone? Where's he gone to?
I'm sure I don't know. This place is becoming more and more like a railway station every day. Somebody phoned up from Golden Dawn for the doctor, and he left straight away in his aeroplane. He left a note for you to explain everything.
Did he bring it up?
No, Miss Elizabeth. I forgot. It's in the lounge. And do you know, Miss Elizabeth, the doctor walked off to his aeroplane. He wouldn't stay for lunch, mind you, with a bottle of brandy in his pocket. Oh, dear, he drinks terribly, that man. Such a shame it is, too.
Don't be silly, Hetty. That was the bottle he was going to analyze. You know, the one we think that has been poisoned.
Well, perhaps it is. But he had a bottle of whiskey in the other pocket.
How's the girl, Hetty?
Just the same, Miss Elizabeth. Dr. Knowles examined her properly today, and he couldn't find anything wrong with her. Not anywhere he couldn't.
Then she must be drugged.
I suppose so. He left a note for you about her, and I fed her every 2 hours as he told me to.
Oh, that's good. Have my father and Sergeant Cox had dinner yet?
Not yet, Miss Elizabeth. The sergeant's leaving for Golden Dawn tonight, I think.
Oh? How's he going to get there?
Oh, Ted Sharp's going to drive him in Mr. Nettlefold's car.
Ted Sharp? Is he back again?
Yes, he arrived this afternoon.
Where's he now?
I think he's downstairs talking to Mr. Nettlefold and Sergeant Cox.
Oh, good. Will you tell Father I'll be down in a few minutes?
All right, Miss Elizabeth. Supper will be ready in about half an hour.
Hello, Ted. I heard you were back.
Hello. How are you, Elizabeth?
Oh, fine, thanks. Oh, Ted, all kinds of things have been happening since I saw you last.
Yes, I know. I've heard all about them. I say, you're looking absolutely worn out.
Oh, I'm all right, Ted. A little tired, that's all.
Well, don't overdo it.
Did you turn the cattle over to the drovers all right?
Yes, that's all fixed up now. They're well on their way to Croupy by this time. I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday to give you a hand.
There wasn't anything for you to do, Ted.
How's the girl?
Oh, just the same. She's in a very bad way.
Yes, I know. I'd like to go up and see her.
Why? You don't know who she is, do you?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen her. But there's just a chance I might have run across her somewhere or other.
Oh, I think it's very unlikely. It's really hardly worth your while to see her.
I say, you're not jealous by any chance, are you?
Jealous? I don't quite understand you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elizabeth.
Don't see that there's anything to be sorry about.
I forgot my position for a moment. I forgot I was only a stockman.
Don't be so absurd, Ted. What's that got to do with it?
You know, I'm not always going to be a stockman, Elizabeth.
Really?
No, I'm just biding my time. I'm saving all the money I can. And one day, before very long, I'm going to buy a station of my own.
That'll be very nice indeed. But I don't see why you're telling me all this.
Don't you, Elizabeth? I was hoping perhaps that you might have done.
Meaning?
Oh, my dear, don't you see? I'm in love with you. I'm mad about you, Elizabeth. I thought you understood.
Say, please, don't talk like that.
But, Elizabeth, I wanted to tell you this for so long. I thought you'd realize it. Surely I've made it plain enough.
Yes, I suppose you have. I never quite looked at it like that before. Oh, what a fool I am.
Elizabeth, what are you talking about?
Nothing, Ted, nothing. Don't let's talk about it anymore, not now.
All right, my dear. But I do want to see more of you. I so seldom get a chance of talking to you. There's always someone else about when I do see you. Will you please let me talk to you alone sometime?
Of course, Ted.
Miss Elizabeth!
Here I am, Hetty. Please go now, Ted. We'll talk about things again later.
Will you promise to meet me then?
Yes, yes, of course I will.
Tonight?
All right.
Oh, there you are, Miss Elizabeth. Your father wants to see you.
All right, Hetty, I'm coming now.
Tonight, Elizabeth?
Yes, Ted, after supper. I'll be outside in the veranda.
Come in, Elizabeth.
Hello, Father. Hello, Sergeant Cox.
Evening, Miss Elizabeth.
Hetty's just told me you found the plane's been burnt.
Yes, I'm afraid so. We arrived just too late. All the evidence is gone now.
Is there nothing left?
Only the black and twisted frame of the machine. I was hoping to find at least a handbag belonging to the girl. Something that would establish her identity.
Oh, what rotten luck. I wonder who could have done it.
If we knew that, Elizabeth, we'd know who drugged the girl. Oh, by the way, here's a note from Dr. Knowles.
Oh, thanks, Father.
I don't suppose there's anything in it. I had to talk to him before he left. What's he say?
Had to rush off to attend another patient, Mrs. Nixon at St. Albans. Carry on with present diet according to my instructions. I will fly back as soon as I can. Regards.
He ought to be back tomorrow with any luck.
Tell me, Father, about the burnt plane. Was it set fire during the night, do you think?
No, not long before we arrived. Sergeant Cox is of the same opinion. You see, Miss Elizabeth, parts of the wreckage were still hot. The petrol tank had exploded with terrific force, and bits of the plane were strewn about all over the paddock.
How long had Captain Loveacre been there before you arrived?
Only about a quarter of an hour.
I suppose you don't think he did it, Sergeant.
Oh, no, no. Surely no man would be mad enough to set fire to his own plane.
That depends, of course. It's wonderful what people will do if they've something to hide.
What are you suggesting, Elizabeth?
Oh, nothing, Father. I was just trying to be helpful.
Some of your feminine intuition, I suppose. It's a funny thing, Sergeant. Women are the most illogical creatures possible. And yet often they seem to hit the nail bang on the head. This intuition, for instance.
Intuition? I'll never believe in it. It's sheer guesswork. That's all it is. And usually quite wrong at that.
Well, that settles my detective powers pretty thoroughly.
You know this Loveacre fellow well, Sergeant?
Oh, not really. He's only been here a few days.
He's a rum sort of bird. You know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he knew something about this mystery.
He might. You never know.
After all, there aren't many people in the district capable of flying an aeroplane. And the man responsible for this job is obviously a pilot.
Yes, yes, that's so.
I only know of four people in about Golden Dawn who can fly. There's Captain Loveacre, his assistant pilot, Dr. Knowles and John Kane.
John Kane, yes. Have you seen him recently, Sergeant?
Yes, he was in Golden Dawn last time I saw him. He was staying at the hotel when the plane was stolen.
He's not the fellow to do anything of this kind. I know him pretty well. Very decent chap. But the man who drugged this girl and left her alone in an aeroplane to crash must be the very devil.
Anyway, John Kane was in Golden Dawn after the aeroplane flew over the town. He's quite obviously not responsible.
I hardly think Dr. Knowles will have anything to do with it. Mad as he is, he's not a criminal.
Of course, the man who set fire to the plane might not be the same as the pilot.
The strange thing is that there are no footprints near the plane. How a man could set fire to it without coming within a half a mile defeats me.
Do you think it could have caught fire from natural causes?
Captain Lovelace here said it was possible, but decidedly improbable. The weather was quite clear last night. There wasn't any lightning.
Do you know, Father, I believe Sergeant Cox thinks that we set fire to it.
What possible motive could we have for doing such a thing?
Well, absence of motive doesn't necessarily exclude suspicion, Miss Elizabeth.
The unfortunate part is that our tracks are the only ones to be seen in the sand. At the moment, suspicion does point to us.
Of course, this man you saw in the girl's bedroom last night puts a new complexion on things. I am afraid we'll have to take the girl to hospital.
Do you mean that we're not looking after her properly?
It's not that, Elizabeth, but you must realize that a potential murderer entered this house last night. Knowles is quite convinced that brandy was poisoned.
It's quite possible, Miss Elizabeth, that another attempt may be made on her life. That's why we must take her away. I suggest that a guard be set tonight.
Yeah, one of the Sockham can easily do that, and we can leave the dogs off the chain.
Oh, we can't turn the place into a fortress.
Well, at least we can have a man in the house with a loaded gun. Can you suggest anyone, Elizabeth?
Yes, I know. Ted Sharp.
Ah, the very man, Sergeant. He's my boss stockman, you know.
Yes, I know him. Seems a good, honest, conscientious type of man.
Oh, yes, really, he is, Sergeant.
Mr. Nettleford, may I use your telephone?
Certainly. You know where it is, don't you?
Yes, I want to make a long-distance call. It'll probably take me some time.
Long-distance?
Yes, I'm going to telephone Colonel Spender, the chief of the Queensland Police in Brisbane. In view of recent developments, I shall have to call in a detective.